are here, and all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. If we open our Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 3. And reading from verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruit meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And so I'd like to ask the question then, what is the fruit that God is looking for? Brother Bram taught us from the Anointed Ones at the end time, he said the fruit is the teaching of the season. And so what is the teaching of the season? It's a doctrine for that season. That's what the fruit of God that he's looking for in each person. And if the doctrine for this hour is the adoption, that God himself came down to adopt many sons, and the fruit that God is looking for is adoptable fruit. Verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear, and he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. And he will gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now the wheat that is gathered is seeds. You don't go out and gather the shafts, you know, the entire plant, and you throw it into the garner. Because the garner, the word garner, actually means granary. And that is where the seeds are deposited in, for storage. You bring the seeds into the granary. So we're looking at him coming in this hour to gather together his seeds. And in Psalm 145, and reading from verse 15 and verse 16, the eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. So we see that God tells us here that the meat must come in due season. So we're talking about a seed, and we're talking about a season. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father, we come to thee this morning once again with an open and honest heart before you, to know and to understand what it is that you would have for us to know this hour. Help us, O God, to know thee in the power of thy resurrection, in that great harvesting power where you will bring forth all seeds into your garner, for we ask it in the precious name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Now this morning, I'd like to continue in our study of Brother Bram's sermon, The Spoken Word is the Original Seed, and we'd like to continue from paragraphs 58 through 61, and I want you to know or to notice how that Brother Bram focuses his thoughts on each generation, and how God gives each generation a revival around a certain portion of his word that he has allotted for that generation. When the prophet's message goes forth, there are only so many seeds that are ordained for that generation, and then a mixed multitude follows that message as well. And that's important for us to understand, because it is the mixed multitudes that actually turn that prophet's message into an organizational thing. I want you to notice that when the prophet goes off the scene, that mixed multitude of people who came into the message of each hour are the very ones who pervert the message after he is gone. It happened in Luther's day. It happened in Wesley's day. It happened in Paul's day. And it has happened in this hour. Since this sermon of Brother Bram's is called The Spoken Word is the Original Seed, I want to focus our thoughts on how there is a seed ordained to hear that word in every season. Or there is a seed for every season. Now therefore, true life, Brother Branham says in paragraph 58. Now, therefore, true life can only come or reproduce itself by its original breeding. See? It's life. Now study that. When you're studying the tapes and study it now, life, L-I-F-E, can only be reproduced by its original breeding, the way it started at the beginning. Then it reproduces itself, see? And if it doesn't, it's a hybrid. It runs out. Some of them run out in the first generation, see? It's gone right then. It'll soon find itself back. It can't bring correct life because it's a hybrid. Paragraph 59. Genesis 1:11, the Bible said, "Let every seed bring forth of his kind." Now, when God said that, that settled it. It's always settled. Let every seed bring forth of his kind. To mix it brings a super crop. It's a super crop of what? Now, listen now. To mix it. I'm trying to hold them such a text I could preach on it, but I'm trying to keep from doing that. To mix it will bring forth a super crop as it's been proven. But what kind of a crop is it? It's a crop of falsehood, of death. Hybrid your corn, it brings forth a big crop, better looking, but it's dead. Plant it back, it can't reproduce itself again. It's done, it's finished, like Eve, see? She brought forth a hybrid crop. And look at us today, you can look around and see that it's true, sure did. It wasn't God's purpose, no, sir. Just have to hold back for something I'm thinking on right now, see? Now, before the seed was sown, before it was planted, while it was planted, the ground had to be made ready. Now notice Brother Branham is reading here from Genesis chapter 1. So I'd like to, if you would, open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to examine this preparation for the seeds to come. And notice in generation, and we're going to begin reading at verse 1 through verse 11. And I want you to notice that light came forth first in water, and then next came the life. Now, in the scripture, we know that light represents the word, as we have already seen, and so does water. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form, and it was void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. Notice, if the earth was without form, then it wasn't existing in its material sense. It was still in the mind of God. And if it was void, that word void means an abyss. There was nothing there. Like Brother Bram said before, there was one atom to create anything. He said it was there in God's mind. You see? And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and he called the light day, and the darkness he called the night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the water, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth. And the gathering together of the waters he called the seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. So notice then, before God even begins the bringing forth any life into materiality, the seeds that were in his mind to begin with were planted in the earth. You see? It says, "whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. And Brother Brown lets us know that every seed that ever was and ever will be was planted back then in the book of Genesis. So notice here that all seeds were ready. Already at this time, placed in the earth by God and just waiting for the light to bring up the seed in its ordained season. You see, there's seasonal wheat. There's winter wheat, there's spring wheat, there's autumn wheat. You know, we have these different types of wheat. And they take a certain degree of sun and penetration of the sun to bring them forth and bring them into manifestation. So we have different seeds for different seasons. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the third day. Now from the message, there is a man here that can turn on the light, Brother Bram said, and we know that in the beginning it must have been foggy and dismal and dark as the world was turning. And when God knew that he had a need of light, Now, his seed was already in the earth because he'd planted it then. Planted it there. Now, he needed light to bring forth that seed to make that seed live because the seed was already there. Just like it is in each age. God has foretold us what would take place in each age. The only thing is that he needs is a manifestation of the light of God upon that scripture to make it live for that age. And it will do it as long as the light can get to the word. If the word's germatized, it'll make it live if it's a promise for that day. You might plant wheat at one time or grain at another time. Some come slower than others because it depends on the season. God's word comes in a season, the law and the grace and so forth, as we went on down through the ages. And each time that it's lit up by the manifestation of the light spreading forth, the life that's in the seed. So we hear Brother Branham telling us that God has a seed for a season, but that seed is already planted. It's just a matter of there's a light then for that season, which brings forth that seed that's ordained to that light. Now from paragraph 60, he says to mix it would bring forth a hybrid crop. A hybrid crop is a dead crop. Far as rebreeding, it won't rebreed itself. It can't, because God says so. It has to bring forth of its kind, and you've mixed it. Now you can see the church right there where we're going to wind up. It dies there, for it cannot bring forth of its kind. Why? It's mixed. You can't do nothing with it. It's dead. It's finished, all right? That's why each generation has its own revival, a chance at the word. I want you to think about that, because you're sitting here this morning. You're believing this message because you are that seed which was ordained for this season. And the whole world has had a chance. Notice he says, each generation has its own revival, a chance at the word. Oh, the sovereign God at the judgment. John Wesley's group will raise up, and these starch-washed Methodists of today will answer to it, or answer for it. Luther will raise up, the Catholics will raise up, and back behind Irenaeus and Martin and Polycarp and those, and will have to stand the judgment for hybriding the word of God to dogmas. This group of Lutherans that followed Luther's revival will answer the same thing. The group of Baptists that followed John Smith's revival will do the same thing. Alexander Campbell's will do the same thing. And the Pentecostals will do the same thing. That original revival, when the Holy Ghost fell, called out a people, and God trying to get his word to it, and they organized it and set over here and denominated, and right here, there, and right there, you say, but look at what they're doing. We'll get to that a little later on today. We're coming right down to that. I'm just putting the seed in now. Then we're going to show you after a while what happened. And that's why each revival has its own revival. Each generation has its own revival. God raises him up a man. He sets him with his word and starts him out for the message for that age. And as soon as that man's taken off the scene, somebody else catches it and hybrids it. So my brother Vail said that the make-believers have taken over this message. It all falls back to a perfect everything. I could stop here for just a minute. We ain't in no hurry, see? Go back, and that's exactly what it started way back in the beginning in Genesis. God set forth his crop of human race, and Eve hybrided it. You see what happened? So there's a judgment for Eve. Now Luther set forth, all the rest Christ set forth, the apostles set forth, the prophets set forth. Didn't Jesus say, which one of you hath not your fathers persecuted the prophets that God sent? Didn't he teach that a king one time sent his servant, and then sent another servant, and sent another servant, and so forth, and finally sent his own son? You see, each generation receiving, because it's repeating right back, Adam and Eve again, the first crop in the Garden of Eden, half of them lost, wise virgin, sleeping virgin, half of them, one kept the word, the other hybrided it, right back and forth, just as hard as it could go, right like that. It's been right down through the age, and we'll prove it by God's word and by the history here. That's right, hybriding. Hybriding first started in Eden, started in Genesis. It's the beginning, that's where. And it ends up over here in Revelation at the second coming of Christ. Now remember correctly, that's why each generation has its own revival. It gets a chance at the word. Then they hybrid it. Instead of taking on, they go somewhere else. What have they done in this hour? They've hybrid Brother Branham's message to the oneness Pentecostal message. They bred it to that, and they've got a oneness doctrine and a oneness life that's just very vile and very mean-spirited. from high breeding first started in Eden, started in Genesis. It's the beginning. That's where. And it ends up over here in Revelations at the second coming of Christ. Now remember correctly, that's why each generation has its own revival. It gets a chance at the word. Now think about that. Each generation gets its chance at the word. Then they hybrid it. Instead of taking on, they go somewhere else. And from his sermon, Sirs, we would see Jesus. Brother Branham said, God, knowing the end from the beginning there, he allotted to the world a certain part of the word for each generation as they come along. He sent prophets in the Old Testament. We're taught in Hebrews 1 and 1. God in sundry time in diverse manners spake to the fathers through the prophets in the last days through his Son, Christ Jesus. And from his sermon, Looking Unto Jesus, Brother Branham said, that's the very reason that Jesus was not understood when he came to the earth. If they would have only looked into the word of God instead of their own traditions for their day, they would have known that he was the Son of God. Because the Bible plainly declared his full coming, and he come in full revelation of the word, and each generation reveals him in the full revelation, that which is allotted for that time. This generation must reveal Jesus Christ. That's the revelation of him that's promised in the word. It must be revealed to this generation. And if the churches won't receive it, somebody will rise up and do it. Because John said, God is able of these stones to raise children unto Abraham. Don't think to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for God is able of these stones to raise children unto Abraham. Now, Brother Branham mentioned the parable where Jesus said, you know, God sent, he tells a story about the parable. Actually takes place in Matthew 21, verse 33 to 43, where Jesus says, hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard, and he hedged it around about, and he digged a wine press in it, and he built a tower, and he let it out to a husbandman, and went in unto a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandman that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did the same unto them. So we see that Brother Branham is laying out that this, notice that God kept sending servants in every age, but they did the same to all of them. And notice in every age those servants came and they were looking for a certain fruit. You see, and what is the fruit? It's a teaching for the age. In Luther's day, it was justification. By faith are you saved. Wesley's day, it was sanctification. 1906, Azusa Street, it was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But in this hour, it's the Holy Spirit himself has come down. You see. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said to one another, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him. And let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard, and they slew him. Notice now, they wanted the inheritance without the son. Huh? Isn't that what we see in the message today? They don't want to believe there's a son of God, but they want the inheritance anyway. You see? And when the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto these husbandmen, these preachers? They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let them out, and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruit, the doctrine in their season. Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruit, the doctrine thereof. Again from his sermon Shalom, Brother Branham said, each generation was allotted so much. It happens in their day. We all know that. The prophets come on the scene. The word of God came to them, understood it. A seer in the Old Testament means that. One that the word is revealed to. And how they know it? Because he foreknows things that will come. Then the word of the Lord came to them in each age. And Jesus said to John, or about John, he was a bright and shining light for a while. Why? Isaiah, 712 years before he was born, said, there's a voice of one crying in the wilderness. Malachi, the third chapter, said, behold, I send my messenger before my face to prepare the way before me. See, he was that word being vindicated, the word that was promised for that day. He was the light because he was making come to pass the very word that God had spoke about him. And when Jesus came, John said, I must fade out now. He must come in view. And he was the light all down through the ages, how God spake of that hour coming. And from his sermon, Greater Than Solomon Is Here, Brother Branham said, just when the revival is going and the Spirit of God is coming, God is moving with his people. Then remember, he gets that crop out, weeded out, that's it. That's for that generation. And remember, he said, as it was in the days of Noah, wherein 8 souls were saved, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. See, each generation will just produce so many. And that's the way you see it today. Everywhere, it's just a dying away, a falling away. Sin is collapsing in on everything. And from his sin is collapsing in everything. And from his sermon, End Time Seed, Brother Branham said, but each generation, what does it get? Its opportunity at the fresh word of God for each time. Like Luther under justification, like Wesley under sanctification, the Pentecostal move under the baptism of the Holy Spirit. See, each one gets his chance. Then what does the men do that follows those great reformers? They denominate it. They organize it. They mix it with creeds. A little bit here, a little bit there. A new bunch of school scholars comes along with a bunch of psychology, just the same as Eve was trying to find out some new light, mix it up with the Word of God. Death. Away went the organization and died spiritually. That's exactly right. That's the way it's always been. So when you hear me barking about what's happening in this message, don't be upset, because it's got to follow that way. Because Brother Bram said, in every generation it follows the same thing. God comes, he brings a light. That messenger comes as a light to spark the seeds for that day. Then other men, when the prophet goes off the scene, other men take and organize the message. And it rips the life right out from the people. From Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, it says, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Why do you think that God ordained you to be here in this hour? Why? Why didn't he place you back in Luther's day? Why didn't he place you back in Wesley's day? I want you to think about it. Because you as a seed that is ordained to receive the full revealed word. You couldn't have accepted Luther's message. You would have said, that's okay, but there's more. You couldn't have accepted Wesley's message of sanctification, because you knew that there was more. Luther's day, he believed in the just shall live by faith. Luther smoked cigars or a pipe or something. He was a smoker. He drank. Wesley came along. He began to live a little bit more sanctified. But he didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I mean, they didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost as we understand it today. They did have the Holy Ghost by measure for that age. They had the light by measure. But God ordained you to receive the full word for the hour. So if everything has a season, we must ask ourselves this question: what season are we in? What is my season? Why am I here? What is my end? If this is a season for the adoption of sons, God placed you here because you're more than able to come into the image of his dear son. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, which is reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, that's ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold testings, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, it might be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now notice verse 5. I'd like to read it from the Weiss translation. He says, you who are constantly being kept guarded by the power of God through faith, for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last season, which is epochal and strategic in its significance. And again, notice verse 6 and 7, that the trials will produce in you a seed that is in the image of the life of the original seed. All that were for all that he foreknew, he also has glorified. All that he's glorified, he has also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his dear son, who is the eldest son in a vast family of brothers. We're ordained to that for this hour. And from his sermon, End Time Seed, Sign Seed, Brother Branham said, but in the face of all of that, there is a real bride that God's bringing forth and has a little bit out of each. Each time there's been a reformation, there's been so much of the word spread forth, and each generation gets its time. Did you ever notice that? There'll be a man of God come along that'll strike fire with God, and there'll be a great revival sweep the land. And what happens immediately after that? They take the man's idea and denominate it and bring in creeds and mix it with it. And there she dies and never rises again. That's right. Always has been, always will be, every time. That's why Brother Branham could say, 1 week before he went off the scene, he said there's something like 17 different versions of the message already out there. And that was at that time. It happened right in Luther's face. When Luther went into hiding, they went into fanaticism. And they say it wasn't a miracle that Luther could protest the Catholic Church and get away with it. It was a miracle that he could hold his head above all the fanaticism that followed. You talk about fanatics. I've never seen so many fanatics as what we have right here in this message. All kinds of isms. All kinds of strange doctrines. All kinds of strange people. Why? Because they saw the light. They saw the light. But they didn't understand the light. They were attracted like the little silver thing. It attracts fish. It'll also attract, you know, the tadpoles and all the other things. From Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 4 to 8. For it is impossible for those who have been once for all enlightened, those who have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made companions of the Holy Ghost himself, being brought alongside and made aware of his presence, by tasting the goodness of God's vindicated word and have been exposed to the powers of the coming age, having fallen away and deviated from the truth, it is impossible for them to ever come to a change of mind again, seeing that they have crucified themselves along with the Son of God and have subjected him to public disgrace. So catch carefully what Paul is saying. Because it says right after this that the land that drinks in the rain, the doctrine, that often falls upon it and that produces a crop that is useful to those who have sown it. And who did the sowing? The Son of Man did the sowing. It is this land which produces the crop which receives the blessings from God. But the land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless to the one who sowed the land and is in danger of being cursed. And in the end, it will be burned. Now in Psalm 1 and verse 1, we read, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the word of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. And his life and his leaf shall also not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So we see here that there is a fruit that is brought forth in its season. And in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 to 9, we read, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall also of his flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So we see scripture after scripture after scripture, quote after quote after quote. The Brother Branham and the scripture both teaches us that there is a fruit for a season. There's a doctrine for a season. There's a people. There's a seed for a season. There is a man here that can turn on the light, Brother Branham said, and spiritual life, eternal life, can only come by God's spoken word of life. Life was the sun this time, the S-O-N. In him is light, and in him is no darkness. And he is God's spoken light. Is that right? God's spoken word. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God, and it's forever God. See? And it takes the light of God to strike the Word to make it live. Here's what he spoke. Now let the light shine. Amen. Let the light shine, and the light will bring every word into its right position in its season. Amen. You see, when it comes time, sometimes that little grain lays in the earth dormant all through the winter like a seed of winter wheat sowed in the ground. But when the sun gets just right, oh, it's got to live, see? And it can't live without the sun. And God's made promises for every age and every day. And when the light gets right and shines upon that, it'll produce just exactly what the Word said it would, because He is the light and He is the life. And from the end time seed sign, Brother Branham said, "Now He spoke the Word, and the Word was a seed, and it matured in its season. Every seed of God correctly placed will mature." So we have a promise that we will mature. Sometimes it doesn't seem so. Sometimes we kind of bang our head and say, why can't I just get past this one thing? You see? But God's seed will mature. It has to. It's ordained to. Now, what do we mean a seed for every season? Well, first we must ask ourselves what we mean by the word seed. Well, a seed is what? A seed is a carrier of life. That's its definition by Webster. There is a seed for every season. What is a seed? It's a carrier of life. And it speaks of predestination, because everything that seed will ever manifest in its life cycle is already in it. Every attribute, every characteristic, every expression. That is why the seed in its purest form of predestination. Now, if you get the seed of the Word planted in you, and it's watered by the washing of water, by the Word, listen to those tapes. Let that seed get planted in you. It will bring forth the nature. It will bring forth the manifestation of the attributes of Christ in you. And from God's only provided place of worship, Brother Branham said, now the Lutherans wanted to get it one way, by joining the Lutheran church. The Methodists wanted to get in by shouting. The Pentecostals wanted to get in by speaking in tongues. That still ain't it, see? No, that's gifts and so forth. But 1 Corinthians 12 says, by one Spirit, the Spirit of God, which is the life giver to the Word, the seed, to vindicate that seed for that season, see? Here's the Methodist age seed laying there. It taking the Holy Spirit to make that seed come to life and purify the church by sanctification. Luther didn't preach that because he didn't know it. The Pentecostals wanted to speak in tongues for the restoration of gifts. Each one declares, that's it, see? But the seed of God must come to the place where they have no contrary thought from that which was vindicated and revealed to this hour, or to us. He won't go back to previous light that were in error. But he immediately goes to God's thoughts for the hour in which he lives. In Luke 1 and 19 to 20, we read, and the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. So when he didn't believe that word, God shut his mouth. Oh, if God could just shut the mouths of those people who don't believe the word that was given for this season. In Mark 4 and verse 14, the sower soweth the word. So that seed is the word. In Luke 8 and verse 11, the word of God is a seed. And notice, as a seed, it contains life. In John 1, verse 1 to 4, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not made anything that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Notice, darkness does not comprehend the light. Katalambano. It means to take eagerly, to seize upon, and possess, to apprehend and comprehend, and they don't do it. Here we're talking about life, and it says the darkness will not seize upon it. They will not apprehend it. In John 6 and 63, Jesus said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth the prophet. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. Notice how that just after he informed them eternal life is in his word, what happened? They left. They said, these are hard sayings. Who can hear it? They walked out. In 1 Corinthians 15, 37 to 44, we read, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bear grain, that's a seed. It may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another flesh of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Notice, I want you to notice here that the scripture tells us that the seed must be sown, and the form that it eventually takes is not what was sown. You see? In other words, this body is going to be changed. It'll be the same body, just rearranged. The atoms will be rearranged. So it's a perfect body, not this old bald-headed frump, you see. Now Matthew 13:36-43. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, his messengers. And they shall gather out of the kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. And they shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. But do not forget that when there is this gathering of the tares that takes place, there's also a gathering into the granary of the seed that came to life with the same life as the original seed. Again, we see a seed being sown at a specific season, in which case this is marked out as being the end of the world. So we must have a season. There must be a sowing in that season, and there must also be a reaping or harvest season. Finally, in closing, we find in 2 John verse 8 to 9, Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have worked for, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresses, whosoever goes beyond the limits and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. But he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. So do not lose that which you have sown. You must abide in the doctrine in order to reap. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that there's a season for that word. And we thank you, Father, that you have seeds that you ordained before the foundations of the world to come forth into manifestation in that hour. We're thanking thee, Father, for the seed that you gave through William Branham, knowing that he was a seed manifested in this hour, that the revival was you, Father, but you used that seed to bring forth manifestation of your divine presence. And we pray, Father, that the light of that glorious gospel would shine upon us, that it would bring us also into manifestation. For you said, if the same life that raised up Jesus Christ be in you, the same Spirit, that it also would quicken our mortal bodies. And so, Father, we're asking that our mortal bodies be quickened, because we have need, Father, to live a life that's worthy of the gospel. And so we pray, Father, you would quicken us by your life for the season in which we live. And we believe this is the end time, that this is the time of the adoption of sons. Help us, Father, then to manifest the qualities and attributes and characteristics of adopted sons. For we ask this humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.